Amen. We give the good Lord praise. Want to thank Sister Arthurlin for being willing to come in and sing that impromptu with no rehearsal. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Sister Loretta and also Brother Austin and Brother Goose, the other musicians that helped us worship and praise the Lord today. I want to thank all the voices of St. Timothy and First Lady for directing the choir. Amen. Amen. We thank God. And she and I have been extremely grateful this week because of some of the stuff we went through. We left last week. Everything seemed fine, and next thing you know, we found ourselves at the emergency room. Wow. And the Lord showed up there at the emergency room and took care of everything. Amen.
Amen.
And we just bless God that He was right there, an on-time God. Amen. On-time. Somebody saying that. Don't let me start singing up here. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have to back away. But He did show up. He knows when you need something, you know. Amen. He knows how to foster gratitude in the hearts of those who love Him. Amen. I want to take just 1 minute and briefly mention this. We'll give you more details. We have been asked to, again, participate in the Great Gateway Christian Leadership Conference in Branson at the Thousand Hills Golf Resort, and that'll be in June. So you're getting like way advanced notice, but we'll keep you posted on this. If you're visiting, you can come from wherever you are. I want to extend this to the visitors as well. Maybe you need a vacation in Branson. You know, it'd be a good time to come. There are some dynamic speakers that come from the God First Church, where Pastor Carl Lucas is the pastor there. And some come from as far as Texas. Folks coming in from everywhere to help build leadership. Amen. We'll keep you posted on that. So we want to just mention it today to just put it in your mind before the year is over. And we'll put something in the bulletin on next week in regard to it. Amen. But for today, I love this day, and it's sometimes Christmas falls on the Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
And this year it happens to be that it's Christmas Eve is on Sunday. So we don't want to keep you too terribly long. We know you may have some last minute biscuits that you want to whip up or run out and grab a gift or something. We know how that works. So I do want to tell you something, though, because we've been talking on the subject throughout the month and a little bit before. And as I say, we have a Christmas message virtually every Sunday because we're always talking about the coming of Messiah.
That's right.
Amen. The Savior of the world. He is there for you. And if you haven't been familiar with Him, we'd like to make sure today you understand what Christmas is really about. Amen. The world has made it into so many different kinds of commercial things and wants to, for example, they don't want us to call it a Christmas tree anymore. In the public place, they want to call it a holiday tree. I said, oh, the holiday tree. Well, what holiday is it? It's Christmas. Okay, hallelujah. So that's all right. I'm going to call it a hallelujah tree if they don't watch me. I might go there with you. Amen. But in either case, we want to talk about what's the real meaning of Christmas. What, in fact, our message today, as you may see if you have this handout, is what is Christmas according to the Bible? Amen. And we're going to talk about that just a minute here. I'll try to get you ready so the roast won't be too crispy when you get back to it. Amen. Or the turkey or whatever you happen to be fixing up over there. Amen. So we're going to just read a few verses out of the Bible. I picked some verses that you probably don't hear this time of year. We wear out Matthew about the baby being born and all that. We wear out certain ones. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule and reign on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We love those.
Yes.
And so we hear them all the time. So today we're going to look at a couple of obscure verses that tell us what the Bible says Christmas is. So what is Christmas according to the Bible? That's the name of our message. And we want you to leave with these thoughts in your mind so that you know that the summary of what Christmas is could be stated in the 25 words found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Christmas is about a connection, a connectivity between fallen people like me who haven't done everything right and holy God who is absolutely perfect.
Yes.
And God making a way to bridge that connection so that whoever, it doesn't make any difference who you are, doesn't make any difference what you've done, God has one solution for your problem, and that is what Christmas is really about according to the Bible. So today we're going to grab a verse. Now some of you who study with me all the time, you know I'm going to tell you that this is one of my favorite verses here, and I'd like to ask you to stand. And it's an in-house joke, everybody, because every verse I read is my favorite verse. It's kind of strange, but that's the way it is. We're going to look into Psalms, just a couple of verses, Psalms number 2 and verses 7 and 8. And then we're going to look at Hebrews. You say, oh, Hebrews for a Christmas message. Okay. And this is Hebrews 10, and you may have it in front of you. If not, you can find that in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 1 through 7. So read with me Psalms number 2. This is a Psalm of David starting at verse 7. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's Psalms 2, 7, and 8 from the Old Covenant. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Now Hebrews 10, 1 to 7. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembering again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And just as we said, for a brief topic, we're going to talk about what Christmas is according to the Bible. Amen. Now, you know, I believe if a Martian, say, if such a thing existed, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination for a minute. I don't believe there are any Martians, but if there happened to be one, and they flew in and zoomed right downtown in New York City or St. Louis or Los Angeles, what do you think they would think Christmas is about? I said, boy, look at this stuff here. They might not really get the true meaning or the gist of what Christmas really is from looking at what they see people doing, the way they see people going around scurrying about to get gifts and putting up decorations and all that. They might very well miss the real idea of what Christmas really is. And even if you came from another country maybe and came over here and looked around, you may not really get and grasp exactly what it is that Christmas is about. And so I wanted you to see something here written in antiquity, long time ago, written by David the king, who was an unlikely person to be on the throne in Israel, which at one time was the most mighty nation on the earth. Right now they seem to be the most insignificant. They're a little speck of real estate over there right in the midst of all the trouble. We talked about that a couple of lessons back. And just so you know, all the lessons you haven't heard are available online on our website at sttmbc.org. You can listen to any of them if you choose to do so, as this message will also be online. And one more thing, just want to throw this out. We've been working on getting an internet radio station set up so that all our messages can be heard via internet on some of the radio stations. I didn't get the final details done, but a lot of the groundwork has been set in motion already, and so we'll be able to announce that to you hopefully before the new year. But what I want you to see is, what is Christmas according to the Bible? Now here's an Old Testament prophet, the king. He was also a prophet. His name was David. King David, the most famous king in all the kings of Israel, perhaps except King Jesus. And David here says, I will declare the decree. And he says, the Lord has said unto me, this is that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means Jehovah God, the Most High God. Yahweh would have been the translation if you were able to add vowels into the symbol that represents who God is. That's why you see that in the KJV, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That was called the Tetragrammaton in the Hebrew. And it's a special thing they put so that it was not readable, so no one would say the name of God. And so they just put Lord in the King James to indicate the Tetragrammaton whenever it shows up in the Hebrew text. But what he says is that he has said unto me, thou art my son. Wow, God said to David that you are my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, an interesting thing about Jesus that we would like to notice, every time, like today, for example, is Christmas Eve, right? What does that mean? That means it's the day before Christmas, right? If I said it was Thanksgiving Eve, what would you think? The day before Thanksgiving. If I said it was any particular day, Eve, and I wanted to say this, this is not meant to be funny, but it may be. The only Eve that came after was Adam's Eve. Not meant to be funny, but probably is. Adam's Eve came after, didn't come the day before. And in this case, here it is, David writes about a king who's coming in the future, but he's coming through the seed of Abraham, which was also coming through the seed of David. In other words, God made a promise to Abraham that he would make great nations of him. Remember that in Genesis 12? And it was this, he would make kings come forth from his body. And he was a seedless man, or so to speak. And God made that promise come true, and David was a king in the lineage of Abraham. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 1. But here David himself, that king that came forth from the loins of Abraham, says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son. See that? This day have I begotten thee. Now, you know, Adam was a son of God, but he was not begotten.
That's right.
He was created from the dust of the ground.
Amen.
Jesus, the son of God, was born just like me and you. He came out of the womb of a woman into the world. This woman happened to be a virgin, as we sang in the song that we present to you. That's why we asked, did Mary understand the magnitude of what God, the Holy Spirit, was using her to do? He was using her to fulfill this verse, that thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. We could say that would be the day that the Annunciation came to Mary, that you shall be with child of the Holy Ghost, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So she was told that, and that's the fulfillment of David's prophecy written right here. He says, thou art my son, gives the gender of the child, even before we ever thought of amniocentesis, and this day have I begotten thee. Wow, that he's going to be a born son coming forth. But yet he's coming without sin. The reason you and I have sin is that our father was a sinner.
That's right.
You say, oh, don't get personal now, preacher. Well, you know, the fact is, all of us who are born of a man were born in sin, as David later says in his Psalms number 51, and shaped in iniquity. We all have a problem. We're born in sin.
Amen.
Now, God had fixed it so that his son could be born without sin. And he used the vehicle of a virgin who does not contribute to the bloodstream of the child. We've had lessons on this a couple of lessons back. So you may need to go back and listen to the previous lessons if that sounds strange to your ears. But David is the one who made the prophecy.
Right.
Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. What day would that be? That's 9 months before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. So this is a prophecy of 9 months before Christmas. This day have I begotten thee. And it's in the Bible. Now he says this to that child, ask of me and I shall give thee, this term is the heathen, which can be translated Gentiles. If you look at the Hebrew word goyim, it's the Gentiles, the nations, sometimes it's translated. And the term they use, heathen, in the King James just meant, and most people don't know God. They don't have a relationship with God, the Gentiles, because God had a special relationship with the Jews. He had separated them from Abraham's body to make a people for his own possession. And it would be through their line of people that he would produce the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we have added a few lessons back, too. I just want to give you all some stuff to do to look back here. Verse 8, notice it, Psalms 2 and 8, ask of me, God says, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This king will rule and reign over the whole earth that's yet to come. That's future. That's what it says in the latter part of Isaiah that we talked about, chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It goes from his birth, tells that he is a son, goes to the cross, that he is given as a sacrifice for our sin. And the government, it says, shall be upon his shoulders. That goes to his second coming.
Yes.
When he rules and reigns on planet Earth over all the nations of the world. That hasn't happened yet. So we're in between, but the Bible says that he's going to give this all the nations for an inheritance to his only begotten son and to be his possession. He will be, as it says in the New Testament, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Most High God in human flesh. And so I wanted you to see what Christmas is according to the Bible. It's very important that we understand this. It's okay. I don't have any problem with people buying gifts and doing all those things that they want to do basically around this time of year, as long as you know the real reason for the season.
Amen.
So as we prepare again to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, let us consider the facts that not of the things of the world has associated with the season, but what God has said in his holy word, the Bible, that gives us the true reason for the season and facts that we can delight in now and forevermore. This is what I want you to know. Christmas is a great thing because what it does, it tells us about the birth of that one God promised,
yes,
who can fix our problem with sin.
Amen.
No one else can do it, but Jesus does it all by himself.
Yeah.
And he did it not for some special group, not just for Israel, but for whosoever believes in him.
Amen.
That means you. Any of us in this room can know for sure that we're declared forgiven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so God gave him and told the church to go into all the world and teach all the nations. That's what we do. We're a teaching organism. We want you to know God loves you just like you are.
Yes.
There's nothing you can do by yourself to make yourself right in the sight of God except believe on him who God has sent, giving him as a gift for you.
Amen.
So that's why Jesus came. And on Christmas, it's really about you getting a gift from God.
Right.
According to the Bible, God has given his son so that whoever, doesn't make any difference who you are, doesn't make any difference what you have done.
That's right.
Most of the time, the stuff we're doing gets in the way of us having a relationship with God. Some people say, oh, I'm going to go to church when I get through doing this, 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 and that, and when I can straighten up this, that, that, and the other, and they think it's something you need to do.
Amen.
And God says, come just like you are.
Amen.
Bring all your baggage, whatever it is you got, whatever it is you think would stop you from having a relationship with me, bring it on in. You know why? Because I sent my son to pay the bill. And he paid it entirely. He's the only one who can pay it to a point that I don't even see your sin anymore. I blot your sins out entirely because you trust my son. And I love him that much, so I have given him to you as a gift. So the gospel is about a gift that you and I receive from God.
Amen.
And all you have to do is receive it. You know what? A gift is not a gift. And we know this here at St. Timothy. Gee, give it away. I have said I was going to give this as a gift to Brother G. And I'm just going to set it over here. And it's not a gift yet. Why? Because I haven't given it away. So it has to be given away. Now it's a gift. So that's why God said, I so love the world, I gave my only begotten son. He gave him away. He allowed sinners to take him, spit on him, and crucify him. Now, of course, that's later on, 30 years after Christmas. But he allowed people to crucify him. He had already written it in his word that his own son would be put to death for the sins of the world. Why? Because of the blindness of sin. The people who he came to, the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. So we are adopted into the family of God when we trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Simple as that. And if you haven't received that gift, I hope you're picking it up right now.
Yeah.
Because that's what God wants. He wants you and him to have a relationship together. And he wants you to know that I will not hold your sin against you. I forgive you entirely of everything you've done.
Amen.
If you trust in the name of my son. That will help you understand John 3:16 better.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,
mm-hmm,
that whoever believes in him It's about what you believe, not about what you do.
That's right.
But now keep this in mind. When you believe in Christ, he will also give you the Holy Spirit. That's an internal gift.
Yes.
Those trusted in Christ receive the Holy Spirit as a gift from God.
Amen.
That's God himself who dwells in you because you trust in Christ.
Amen.
And you believe God raised him out of the grave, and that was to prove that he himself was not guilty.
Yes.
He had no sin, neither was there any deceit in his mouth.
Right.
So that's why the grave couldn't hold him.
Amen.
It was prophesied in the scriptures that he would rise after 3 days and nights.
Amen.
He even prophesied himself, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And so Jesus got up to prove that he had defeated not only all the sin of the world, but also death and the devil were conquered by Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish. God will, in other words, that means that the state of sin that I am in before I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior will be remitted. It will be paid for. Jesus has paid my debt entirely. He doesn't just pay a little of it. You know, we make a partial payment, and I'm only going to send you $20 and I owe you $100. Well, he didn't do that. He paid the full amount. Everything that you owe, he paid it in full. And so when you receive him, you receive complete forgiveness. You are exonerated in the sight of a holy God. It's like the highest judge on earth said, not guilty, the moment you trust in Jesus Christ. Slam the gavel down, not guilty. And that's why we're so elated. If you want to know why Christians are shouting and praising around, it's because you know you're forgiven. God has forgiven me. He's taken away my sin. It's the only way you can be forgiven. So the first Christmas is prophesied in Psalm 2:7, where the birth of God's only begotten Son and the purpose or the destiny of the Son are written in just a few simple words, which indicate the primary purpose for which Jesus was born as the ultimate ruler and authority over all the kings of the earth. That's what it says there in Psalm number 2 that we just read. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine possession, and the uttermost part for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Now notice in the writer to the Hebrews that we can wrap up our thoughts. He was talking about the difference between trying to satisfy God by law, by rules. So many people believe that today. Oh, if I don't do the Ten Commandments, I'm going to go to hell. Oh, if I don't keep all these rules. And I'm not telling you don't do them. The Ten Commandments are not the problem.
That's right.
The righteous things you do, that's not the problem. The problem is the unrighteous things that I do. If I break God's law at one point, I'm guilty of the whole law. And so I always give this illustration, and I think it stresses the point pretty well. If I took and wrote the Ten Commandments all the way around on a mirror in a pie slice of ten, each one, and I break one of them, what happens? You break the whole thing. So that's what God says. He who is guilty in one point is guilty of all.
That's right.
And so Jesus is the only one that lived in this world who went through his entire life, and I always like to use this phrase, from the womb to the tomb.
Amen.
With no sin.
No sin.
He came out holy. He walked in spotlessness before God.
Yes,
he died with no sin. The only sin he died with was mine and yours. God vicariously places our sin on him.
Yes,
so that when he died, he paid the bill.
Yes,
and when death went to reach for him like it does everyone else who dies, death has been given authority. From Adam transposed his authority to death.
Yes.
And death can now hold anybody who sinned and keep you down. When Jesus came, death couldn't hold him because he had no personal sin of his own. So death was reaching, but it could not hold. And so Jesus said, "Why are you reaching? Give me the keys. Because I have the keys to death and the keys to hell and the keys to the grave. And I'll give it to whoever trusts in my name." And so that's how you get saved. You trust Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says you shall be saved. So here the writer to the Hebrews is trying to talk to some Hebrew believers that had heard about Jesus, but they didn't really fully understand that he does everything completely by himself to give it to you as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, "For the law having a shadow shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, every year they had to come again because they didn't live perfectly throughout the year. Every year, got to bring another sacrifice. Deuteronomy 25:25 will tell you about the sacrifices that were required by everybody over the age of 25. Every male must appear before the Lord, and you shall not appear empty. Bring a sacrifice. Why? Because you broke my law.
Yep.
You didn't keep it all. So every year they had to bring a sacrifice. And so notice this, verse number 2. For when they would, would they not have ceased to be offered if those sacrifices were really taking away their sin? Why they got to come again next year? Simply put, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. Why do they keep on being reminded about their sin? Verse 3. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. See that? For it is not possible. This is the reason, verse 4 in Hebrews 10. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Why? Because you are a higher creation than bulls and goats. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You are made in His image and His likeness. Verse 5. Wherefore then, it says, wherefore when He cometh, speaking of the Son, into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. That's a quote out of the Old Testament Psalms again. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. God wasn't happy with those things that were offered through Judaism. Then He said, lo, I am come in the volume of the books as it is written to do thy will, O God. So Jesus came to do God's will for us, to effectively fulfill the law, so that whoever trusts in Him can know for sure that they're saved.
Amen.
So that's what we want you to know. That's why we came on Christmas Eve. To tell you on Christmas Eve that God has a gift for you. You can have it today.
Yes.
You don't have to go anywhere. It's already been announced to you. If you receive Christ, you are saved by faith in Him alone. So then, as we come to this year's Christmas celebration, let us think on what it really is according to the Bible, what the Bible says it is. Then, and from now on, we can have true peace that passes all understanding, and also never fret nor fear. Those are devices the devil uses against you.
Yes.
But you shouldn't fret or fear, because Jesus has covered you for everything.
Amen.
And he said this when He left. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Never.
He takes you right now. He forgives your sin. You get adopted into His family. He gives you His Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will open His Word so you can understand the Word better. And He'll teach you how to defeat the things that you can't do on your own. That's what He's been doing to us. This is a hospital for sick sinners.
Right.
Welcome to the hospital for sick sinners.
Yes.
And the Word of God cleanses you and teaches you how to walk in a way that's really pleasing to God.
Amen.
And so that's what the church really is. And sometimes you don't get that message very clear. But God gave His Son in order to have a relationship with us, which is a cleansing, purifying relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he does it. He told me, go out and fish and catch the fish. You catch them, Fisher, and I'll clean them.
Amen.
I don't get to clean the fish. He does it.
Amen.
I just tell you what He said. And by His Word, He washes you and cleanses you from sin. So these things the world does, rather than believing what God said, we need to believe. Now, and the thing that connects these, and I'm going to be done. I'm just about done. I want you to see that in Psalm 2, He said that this day have I begotten thee. That's 9 months before Christmas. Here in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10 that we looked at there, He said over here, but a body you have prepared for me. That's the incarnation when the Word became flesh.
Right.
Just a couple more and I'll give an invitation. John 16:28, I came forth from the Father and I am come into the world. See that? That's the birth of Christ again.
Yes.
He says, and I leave the world and go to the Father. That's after He completed His mission successfully, dying on the cross for the sins of everyone that trusts in Him. Getting out of the grave so they knew for sure. You know what? He's the only one got out of the grave that stayed.
Only one.
How can I believe somebody else?
They still dead.
Everybody else is still dead in their sins. Who said they were some religious leader? Only one got up and stayed up, and that's Jesus. Now in John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto Him, are you then a king? He asked Him, are you a king? Jesus answered, thou I'm saying, in other words, yeah, dude, that's right, you got it. That's modern English. That I am a king. He said, to this end was I born. Now, what is he talking about? His incarnation. And for this cause came I into the world. That's what the Bible says. He came into the world to deal with the problem of sin and death.
Amen.
That I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.
Yes.
He says, if you hear me today, then you are of the truth, and I came to save you and deal with your problem.
Amen.
One more, and this is from the Apostle Paul, and I'm done. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, 1 Timothy 1:15. That Christ Jesus, notice this phrase, came into the world. What is that? Christmas. To save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners.
Right.
I am. He didn't say I used to be.
Yeah.
You know what? The church still has issues with sin.
Yes,
obviously. I mean, all you do is look around. If you're awake, you understand. But it doesn't mean we're not saved. Doesn't mean God has not given his son. Does not mean that God has not given you his righteousness. Does not mean that he hasn't taken the penalty for your sin and put it out of his sight. That's exactly what salvation is. Is God chooses by your faith in Christ to forget about your sin.
Amen.
And then he moves in and blesses you, kind of like the prodigal son. He said, oh, give me all my stuff, Dad. Y'all know that story in Luke 15. I'm just going to go away. Then he went away and spent it on everything wrong. Did everything under the sun until he ran out of money. Then when he was all filthy and dirty and in a swine pit, he said, well, you know, it's better at my father's house than it is out here. I'm just going to go back and ask him to let me sleep in the barn. And he was running, coming up the road, running back home, barefoot, naked, misused, abused, stinking to the high heavens. And what does the word say? The father got up when he saw the silhouette of his son coming in. He ran down the road to meet him.
Yes, he did.
And he embraced him. It's not like he said, oh, you stink, dude, get back. No, he embraced him and loved him, hung up on his neck. And he started trying to explain. And he said, don't explain, I already know the situation. That's how God is. He knows everything you're dealing with.
Thank you.
And if you're ready to come, I'm ready to embrace you and bring you in and kill the fatted calf and have a party with you. See? And so that's where you are today, and I want you to know that's what the Bible says. This is Christmas according to the Bible. So if you're here today and you have never received God's gift, I want to let you know he wants you to have it. That's what the church is for, is to broadcast the truth.
Yes.
And the truth is, God loves you just like you are. Some stuff you've been dealing with, you don't know what to do with. You know what? I'm going to confess today. I got stuff I don't know what to do with. It keeps on bothering me.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm way better than I used to be. I remember a time when I was like, whoa. Y'all would say, so some people come in here now. I mean, they knew me years and years ago. They go, what? They're just astonished. Are you the preacher? But they know where we used to hang out. Right? We used to go. See? And they go, wonder, astonished. I say, God has got a lot of grace, my brother.
Yes, he's
willing to share it with you. All you have to do is receive it. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name.
Wow.
So it's your simple faith in his name, and that's going to be a cleansing process that starts in your life. God wants to do it for you. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we praise you, we bless you, we have heard what your word says that Christmas is. It's you sending your son to cover us for the debacle of sin that has dominated our lives, Lord God, and you gave him in order to neutralize our account, to make us clean in your sight, to cover us with his righteousness. You raise him out the grave so that we can be certain that he has done the work perfectly.
Yes.
You have the whole world configured around Jesus. It's 2017 because that's about 2017 years since he was born, that first Christmas. And that's no myth, Lord God. We see it on the calendar. And so today we come asking, Father, forgive us, cover us, wash us in the blood of Jesus. And we know you raise him out the grave so that we can be confident that he is the only one that we should trust. And so we come trusting him right now, Lord God. Forgive us of our sin.
Yes.
Be our Father. Take us in, Lord God, and let's kill the fatted calf and rejoice. We bless you today, Lord. We give you praise. We ask you to save anyone under the sound of my voice who's inviting you to be their Savior. Let this be the best Christmas they ever had all their lives. Even if there's nothing under the tree, we know who was on the tree, crucified.
Yes,
lifted up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
All men.
And Father, we just thank you right now for saving us, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you that we're better than we used to be, some of us who've been saved for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we know you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. That's what you said. You be with us always, even to the end of the world. So we bless you today, Father. We ask you to save somebody in the room. Let them know right now that they have passed from death into life. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Give God a hand for it. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you're here today and you want to make it known that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, we'll give you that opportunity at this time. If you would like to declare your membership at St. Timothy, we'll do that. And if you don't and you want to go somewhere else, we have no problem with that. God directs people where he wants them to be. Amen. We see that. So we're an agency to represent the truth. And so the main thing we want is that when you leave these doors, you know what you need to do to be saved.
Right. Amen.
And we hope that you have believed it, because if you have, you are saved.
Yes.
Amen. So if there are any here who would like to unite with us in membership, we give you that opportunity. And if there's anyone being saved for the first time, if you just want to stand up and give a testimony, you can do that at this time. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Amen. Y'all, it wasn't too bad there. Sounded pretty good. Amen. We've done as God commands. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Amen.